norms to these people. I still don't see this as a great, you know, because we sell arms to everybody over there too. I don't see this so much as a great confrontation between us and them. I just see this as a blood feud between Sunnis and Shia. Right now, one group has a bigger weapon than the other one, which is gas. You remember the Ba'athist Sunnis of Saddam used gas against the Kurds after we banned them from being able to fly. It was just the next opportunity to, you know, flip the world a bird, and he did it. I absolutely don't think we should put any troops in on the ground. If we do anything there, it should be a Tomahawk missile, cries.
But there's not going to be any. It's not going to do anything. It's now 2 o'clock
It's 2 o'clock. It's a symbolic thing.
Right, Mike. Yeah. Hold on. It's 2 o'clock in the morning right here on 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City.
You know, we might blow up his military, his building of the military defense organization, and blow down some. You know, what do they call it? Where you go in and you drop cluster bomblets along a rock along a runway, so it makes it tough for airplanes to get off.
I mean, how many pounds of munition was dropped on Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia in 1972?
It wasn't as much as we dropped on Libya, I don't think.
But it was more than was dropped
on Libya from flying.
Right. It was more than was dropped on Europe during World War II, though, and it didn't anything. You can't have a Tomahawk missile, cruise missile strike, do anything that's going to topple the Assad regime. It's just going to be...
Well, you target him.
Right.
Yeah, and they've already taken that off the table, which is like taking your biggest stick and breaking it half or thirds or fourths and just throwing it in the nearest trash can. So he knows that he's
I don't think Assad is the same cult of personality dictator type that Saddam Hussein was. I think Assad is generally, you know, revered by his people.
I don't know.
I think he's very well. I'm telling you, I think he's pretty close to royalty amongst the Alawites. I think he is royalty.
Well,
I think
he's
well supported. He's not. He does not operate his dictatorship under fear. It's, you know, it's very much so, you know, monarchical.
No, he wouldn't kill anybody.
Well, that's the point. What it comes down to is that if you remove him, you're not really removing the regime. It's not like Saddam Hussein or Muammar Gaddafi.
Oh, no. No.
It's a different situation.
So we removed Saddam, all we did
you could target him. You could target him, but I don't know what that ultimately will accomplish.
Well, all we did when we removed Saddam is essentially open the door to installing the Shiites, who were in league with the people of Iran. Iran and Saddam's country, Iraq, were natural enemies. They had been for a long time. They fought a 7 or 8 year war, whatever it was.
So then, if you remove the Arab fascists who run Syria now, and let's say our Tomahawk cruise missile strikes cause the Syrian government to fall and the Assad family is no longer in control of that country, etc. What do you get to replace it? You get a
now
bunch.
Now that's a good question.
You get a
you
bunch
don't
of
get
free.
To
right.
replace it
well,
that
no,
you want.
Right. Exactly. You get a bunch of fundamentalist lunatics who are not going to help you build that pipeline whatsoever.
Well, if you're the Russians, they might. After all, they're giving them guns and weapons.
The Russians are even worse to those people, right?
Russia's giving them weapons via Iran and Iraq. They're literally shipping the weapons through Iran, through Iraq, into Syria for the Assad regime.
For the Assad regime, right. Man, we're helping the free Syrian people, the so-called rebels, with weapons, most of which I think are coming from the old stockpiles in Libya.
Who knows?
No, I'm pretty sure that's the flow of arms, is they're using Gaddafi's, you know, stockpiles.
Oh,
his,
yeah.
His armory.
You can make money selling them to the other country. Why not?
Well, it's not a matter of making money. I think it's a matter of moving around arms covertly, because it's not like the CIA can go to the Congress and ask them for, you know, $5 billion or whatever it is to buy a bunch of bullets for a bunch of religious lunatics. Yeah. They have their own way of making those deliveries.
I just think that we're from the wrong side of the tracks religiously for what goes on over there, with the exception of the Christian nutbag ones who want to start Armageddon and, you know, create the end of the world by cheering things along over there, doing what they can to stir up more trouble. We're in the wrong side of the, we're in the wrong place in the world. Nothing we will do over there will work out good. I mean, and if you get rid of one dictator, you introduce another group of people like the Shia, and, you know, over there in Iraq, who immediately started taking the Sunnis out behind the sand dunes and executing them. It, you know, we're not going to win there. And no matter what we're involved in, everybody in the world is going to point the finger at us, because we are invading foreign devils. That's their attitude about us. You know, so then we can't win.
I don't think the plan is to win.
We have to leave it to the Turks or somebody else to... They want to have a ground war there, and, you know, if the Turks want to have an air war to put Syria on the ground, maybe we should help them with planes or training. But we shouldn't be a part of that. It's just, you know, other than if they really come looking for a squabble with us, they ought to have to do something to do it.
I'm sorry
that somebody's using gas on somebody else. It just happens to be that one somebody has it and one somebody doesn't, because both sides would be using it if they had it. Just like they were blowing up each other's mosques when there were Sunni and Shia fighting in Iraq. You know, I don't see the worth of being involved there. I'm a pessimist about that. I'd love to think that we could, you know, save the world and show the world a better way to live, but that's kind of hard with bug-feed people.
You said we'd never win there. What do you think about the idea that maybe the point isn't to win, but to stay there?
Well, yeah, to keep us there forever. You know, what did we do? First, we got rid of the first Saddam Hussein attacks for Saudi Arabia. Then, when he wouldn't behave and was acting like a jerk, and after we got him out of Saudi Arabia, because he did invade there, and after we got him out of Kuwait and put it back in his box, then... You know, Junior had to go in there and make some proof or prove some point, and they invented all this stuff to do that, and the place is still a mess. You know, they're just the next person who is literally, they have shifted sides away from being a buffer between the Sunni countries and Iran to now being an allied country with the Shia country, Iran, in getting arms over to Syria so they can do whatever they can do to their people. You know, we're not winning there. Not, you know, in any way, shape, or form, I don't think. And it just seems like we really ought to be focusing more on building ABMs, doing what we can to protect ourselves from the fact that
missiles?
People in places like Iran are eventually going to try use nuclear weapons to terrorize the rest of the world. You know, if we develop the technologies needed to take down a missile and truly take it down, I mean truly take it down as if we're just playing, you know, Pong or something, some silly game on a computer, then maybe we have achieved some sort of a reasonable response to what's happening there. But every time we get involved, we just lose. You know, and every time we put all these restraints on ourselves, well, we're not going to bomb Saddam Hussein's palaces. You know, they bombed Gaddafi's palace once when he was doing the disco blow-ups in Germany. And, I mean, it put him back in his cage for a number of years.
Thought it was a spider
and,
hole.
You know, taking it to his
Saddam
house made it kind of hard for him to hide.
Gaddafi lived in a tent.
A year.
Well, he lived in a tent behind his house. But there were people in the house that got killed,
all right,
and I think some of them were his own children, and he got the message that you can't just go around blowing people up like that. I mean, that sounds cruel, but that's, you know, doesn't what go around come around somehow? I think that's one of the few things that Reagan did that made sense to me. He took it right back to Gaddafi instead of standing around and waiting for, you know, some international court to do this and do that and maybe get together
so
and talk to sheriffs to go down and ask Mr. Gaddafi if he would kindly surrender himself. You know, that just it didn't work. And if we go into Libya today, I doubt we will be appreciated by the Libyans. They'll probably look at us just like, you know, the next devils from outside who are not Islamic or whatever, or some Christian crusader nut who wants to take over everything. And I just don't, I don't see, Ben, how this is going to help us.
And me and
I
you,
only
Mike?
See how this is going to cost us. I don't know why, since the Saudis benefited from us supposedly getting rid of Saddam the second time, why they didn't pay for a big part of that. It just, it blows my mind, you know, that every time we get around, we get stuck with the bill for everything, but in essence, we are, to some degree, protecting our allies.
Well, Saudi Arabia was our ally.
Kuwait was our ally.
You're missing how the money works. I mean, as long as Saudi Arabia continues to, you know, buy American military hardware and invest in the American economy, it doesn't really matter how much money the Federal Reserve puts up for the American government to go out and fight wars. That doesn't matter. And anything to be benefited here, there is no benefit. Just like with Afghanistan, how the plan was to build the pipeline and have a route. They haven't built that pipeline. They'll probably never be able to build that pipeline. That's essentially the same story with Syria. And the way things are shaping up there, if the Assad regime is out of there, it's not like you're going to have stability or some sort of security on the ground to build that pipeline or make sure the pipeline doesn't get blown up every other day.
So
in the end, what we're ultimately talking about...
the best pipeline.
What in the end we're ultimately talking about is that it's a game between America and I guess Russia.
You got to remember the Turks have control of the Russians' pipeline.
The Turks are part of
through their country,
right? But the Turks, Mike, the Turks are part of NATO. So then they're part of the European side of that, which would be America. So then, what we're really ultimately saying is that if you can't build it, we can't build it, nobody's going to build it. I mean, it's a very interesting business model, I think, and trying to secure the future of the American dollar as the reserve currency, preventing anyone from being able to get those natural resources to market. And they can stay underground, and we can say, we control these. They're in our ledger. These are our assets. Even though they are completely unrecoverable, not because of their distance under the earth or under an ocean, but because of the geopolitical situation, you know, 15 feet above those immense pockets of natural resource.
Yeah, the Turks already do have pipelines coming through their country. They definitely handle a lot of oil and natural gas. And natural gas can be compressed and put in tanker.
But the Turks are part of the European system now. I mean, that's an important thing.
But I mean, energy is energy, no matter who's moving it to where. I have said this before, and I mean, there are parts of me that think, you know, if that whole place just sank beneath the surface of the earth and the Mediterranean just flowed in there and buried it all. But you know what happened after that? All three big Western religions would pick on some other city like Rome or London or Paris or Moscow or Rio de Janeiro or, you know, Mexico City or Washington, D.C. or L.A., and somebody would go there, have a religious vision, and the next thing you know, that would be the holy town, and they'd be fighting over it. And they'd fight to the death over
you
all
forgot
the different
Salt Lake
Western
City.
Religions.
You know, and so then the real solution is that we need to have not only an atomic destruction of the Middle East, we should destroy the whole planet.
Probably.
All right. That was, I'm glad we got there.
That would certainly put an end to the human war. Yes. And by the way, while we're spending all this effort to do what we're doing there, we could be actually building up a defense against a random asteroid, which could do a lot more damage to us in next to no time than having a war over there that drags on for 5 years or 10 years could do to the planet. We are squandering.
Hey, Mike, we don't have to worry.
Something with our name on it.
We don't have to worry about big asteroids. Because we have Will Smith and Bruce Willis to save us.
That's right. Well,
it'll
yeah.
be all good. Okay. It'll be just fine. Mike, we appreciate your phone call. Tuck yourself in real tight out there, and Larry.
And your sidekick there.
Have a good night.
Bye.
816-931-5534 is the telephone number. So that's exciting. I mean, we talked it out with Mike and Mike from Lawrence, and what we realized is that we need a full-on global circumferential nuclear Armageddon on this planet, and that'll just ensure that the religious lunatics will not be able to take over anything.
Have you seen Cabin in the Woods?
I have not.
Mike?
No.
Man, it's been out long enough. I want to spoil the heck out of it, but that's a similar scenario. Can I spoil it? Are you?
Like, is it like Mosquito Coast?
Mosquito Coast? Wasn't that like 30 years ago?
No, it's not like Mosquito Coast. But there's a few parallels to the last conversation and the end of the movie. But if nobody...
The Cabin in the Woods, that's like 5 years old or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's a few years old.
Yeah. I don't think you're ruining it for anybody.
Okay, well, anyway, spoiler alert, if it's in your Netflix queue, take your earbuds out for a second. So as the movie progresses, it's a good old-fashioned horror show with a group of teens or 20s or whatever, go to a cabin in the woods, and the blood spills. And as each, death after death, it turns out, it's kind of a staged Lost or, the basic setup of Lost. It's all surveilled.
Okay. Right.
It's everything's being watched. And it's not scripted, but it's, steered within parameters. Anyway, it turns out the whole thing is a blood ritual to feed the demons below. And literally, and if the ritual isn't met correctly, then the end
hell
of
will be unleashed on
yeah,
that.
Exactly.
Right.
And so the stoner and the redheaded Mary Magdalene archetype in the movie make it through the staged, murder saw-like situations. And the ritual is not fulfilled, and the end of the world ensues. It's a very happy film at the end.
Did it get nominated for Oscars?
I don't know.
I'm going to go with no on that one.
So that's, kind of apropos. Maybe if once we stop this, blood ritual in the Middle East, that...
then the big asteroid will actually just right. destroy the planet Earth. That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. I can see that happening. As soon as all the major religious leaders and factions sit down and say namaste and shake hands and pass the peace pipe.
Yeah, the big hand of Thor.
Boom.
Yep.
That's a nice thought to have, isn't it? 816-931-5534. That's 931-KKFI, and it's a couple minutes after the, solid 18 minutes after the hour of 2 right here on 90.1 FM.
So the war and bloodshed saves lives.
That would be their twisted logic in the analogy with that movie, but...
Right.
A lot of that is, with International Military Violence Day and things like that, ritualistic components to it for sure. I mean, the Holocaust means a fire offering. It's a offering of souls via flame. So, yeah, September 11th is a high holy day in that regard.
It's already September 2nd.
Get ready. I'm debating on whether I should do an all-comedy suicide or make like a master mix out of the three or four 9/11 suicides I have. Does anybody not know yet it's possibly an inside out job? Would it be wasting people's time to educate about Building 7 and Hurricane Katrina? Or, I mean, Hurricane Aaron. Did he just pass out? Oh, okay, good.
Mike's unhappy.
I'm all right.
Worried about the structural integrity of the chair also. Quite a backbend. But yeah, so as far as audio bits go, next time, do you think there's anybody that would be shocked to learn that, you know, things aren't as they said? Because it seems like it's more nostalgic now to hear, you know, the New York firefighters say, "Get back, you're going to blow it, everybody."
I like this. I personally like the nostalgia. And most of our listeners weren't even born when 9/11 happened.
Oh, and the...
We've got a bunch of 12-year-olds out there.
11, actually.
Right.
I'll figure it out. But yeah, the... there are several components. Well, and I think that may have been what Russ checking in was talking about with them waiting, whether it's a Jewish holiday or not, still waiting for, you know, specific, you know, star alignments.
I mean, isn't every day
how
a Jewish holiday?
How bizarre would that be to wait until September 11th to go drop bombs on the Middle East?
Well, and then September 11th is one example. 323, the General Military International Violence Day.
No, 319
was the Iraq War. Okay. Oh, it's 323 was the Skull and Bones, or is that 322? Anyway, September 11th is not the only one. But you do wonder if they wait for specific astrological factors before actually unleashing hellfire rods from God.
Ah, the hellfire rods from God.
Moab.
All that stuff is so long ago, and doesn't matter anymore. Let's talk about, did you watch the VMAs, Jake? Did you miss the VMAs?
I missed the VMAs.
You didn't TiVo the VMAs?
I did not TiVo, but I did see the highlight reel after the fact everywhere else besides TiVo.
I can't believe Alan Thicke looks so good.
And was that really a Beetlejuice outfit, or was that just a general prison garb in, you know, black and white stripes?
Oh, I have no idea.
It's Freemasonic for sure, you know.
It's all Freemasonic. That's what they say, though. It's all about the... There's so much of that, and it's... Like, they say that Jay-Z's the worst.
Well, and, yeah.
He was always looking through his little pyramid hand... Right. Signal and
but there's so many conspiracy videos out, and some of these entertainers are so young, they don't have to be, you know, members of these organizations to glean, you know, gang signs and insignia. And
the real question, though, is does somebody like Miley Cyrus have to be told to go out there and essentially exploit herself completely on live TV?
No.
Or does she already know that she has to do that? She just follows those instructions on her own.
I think a good handful of Molly and a verification of six or seven figures in a bank account would get most people in her age bracket to do that.
So she wouldn't even have to be told?
No. Mildly suggested. I mean, I've seen worse than that at, you know, non-televised events. So the, you know, the programming is ubiquitous, not just the Disney crowd or the, you know, Virgin Records artists. You know, the programming has gone, you know, viral, let's say, with all these media outlets. Yeah, just a big fat check and a handful of feel-goods. You know, I think most kids would do what she did.
Let's take a little break here. We'll be back in a minute right here on the Paragon Radio program.
to Isla Earth. Up in the air, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's a flying windmill? That's right, a flying windmill. Who knew? It looks like a cross between a kite and a helicopter that's tethered to the ground. This brainchild of engineer Dave Shepard hovers 6 miles above the ground where the jet stream blows faster and more consistently. It captures 100 times more energy than its terrestrial counterparts, and Shepard believes it could produce electricity for about half the cost of power from traditional plants. Barely visible to the eye, it wouldn't mar the landscape or pose a threat to birds, since they don't fly that high. Imagine Power of Canada has another idea. That firm developed an airborne system resembling an inflatable paddle wheel that uses helium to keep it aloft. Another design by a Dutch astronaut is kind of a giant kite connected to a ground station via cable. As the kite gets reeled out by the wind, it turns an electric generator. While none of these inventions are currently in widespread use, they've already proven one thing. When it comes to inventing new ways to produce clean, sustainable energy, the sky's the limit. Learn more at islaearth.org. Isla Earth is produced by the Catalina Island Conservancy with support from its Fund for a Sustainable Planet, because Earth is an island.
When it comes to domestic violence, do we hide behind a mask? Domestic violence is everybody's business. The Domestic Violence Awareness Conference takes place on Saturday, September 28th from 11:30 to 3:30 at the Urban League, located at 1710 Paseo. Guest speakers will be sharing their personal experiences and a light lunch will be provided. More information can be found at www.eventswithapurposekc.com. This message is a public service of 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Support for KKFI provided in part by the Pitch newspaper, presenting Taste of KC on May the 19th at KC Live Block in the Power and Light District, featuring sample food from over 15 Kansas City restaurants. Additional info on early discount tickets at secure.pitch.com.
This program brought to you in part by Art Westport, celebrating 34 years of creativity from September 6th through the 8th. The festival will take place in historic Westport, providing the perfect backdrop for a Kansas City artists' fair. Details are online at artwestport.net. This program brought to you in part by Art Westport, celebrating 34 years of creativity from September 6th through the 8th. The festival will take place in historic Westport, providing the perfect backdrop for a Kansas City artists' fair. Details are online at artwestport.net.
Our Labor Day special will bring you Questlove, Amir Thompson of The Roots. Tune in to that hour special.
That's Monday morning at 8, right here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
KKFI presents the first annual Fuster Cluck Blues Festival and Chicken Wing Eating Contest on Sunday, September 8th, 3 to 8 p.m. at Grinders, 417 East 18th Street in the Crossroads District, featuring Junebug and the Porch Lights, Wild Women of Kansas City, Jeremy Butcher and the Veil Jumpers, and Shannon and the Rhythm King Band. Tickets at the door benefit KKFI Community Radio. That's Sunday, September 8th. Further details can be found at kkfi.org. Well,
I shouldn't totally throw it to you while you're pushing buttons. That's not even fair.
Red to me seems like no, like you'd want to cut it off.
Right, right.
Yellow is closer to go. Maybe if they did red and green.
Right, that would be.
But that'll be the last time I make that mistake.
I think I was clear when I told everyone that this is 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio, the Paragon Radio Show. Michael T. Justice and in studio with Jake.
All buttons are go.
So, what's happening, sir? I apologize to everyone. I was a little late getting down here.
There was some mild confusion. We were one step above dead air, so I was able to steer the ship. I just wasn't sure how to accelerate or hit the brakes until
you
guys
go.
Got down here. But we made it. The computer's not that complicated.
Right.
Got a couple songs going. And when we figure out the phone calls, I think I got down, and red means go.
Cool. Well, yeah, you guys were talking earlier about the whole Syria thing, and I don't know if I've got the wrong take on this altogether or not, but, you know, he's talking all this red line stuff, and it seems to me like it's playing out like a couple, like last week or the last week and a half or so. I just kept hearing all these conservative radio shows saying, you know, well, what you gonna do? And you're destroying the credibility of America. And it's like, it's almost like we dare you to do something now.
Right.
You gotta do something now. And it's like, no, you don't have to do something now. We're not supposed to be doing something now.
It's like scripted hype. Like,
right.
It's kind of odd, especially paying attention to the not mainstream news for so long. That General Wesley Clark, Democracy Now, I'm sure listeners to this station have heard him speak, you know, and this was 6 or 7 years ago, about the list of 7 countries that we were going to invade post 9/11. You know, I've read things like the Project for New American Century documents. None of this surprises me. The the order that they went in was, you know, different than what I thought. But yeah,
right.
it's not a surprise. So when it's like the next country's turn, you know, they start this you know, scripted hype program that's awfully similar to the one before, and they recycle a lot of, you know, the same buzz phrases and weapons of mass destruction. And you know, and at the same time, they're never specific. You know, chemical weapons is a huge category. You know, the Occupy Wall Street kids that got, you know,
tear gassed,
yeah,
right?
That
could be
so
chemical.
So are we, you know,
I think those
using
were
chemical weapons,
right,
on our people?
Or were those organic tear gas models?
Was that cayenne pepper or synthetic cayenne pepper? I don't know. But, you know, I wasn't surprised. The hype is ridiculous because so much of the stuff is not clear cut. You know, it's odd how vague they're exactly certain about. You know, we've got, they speak in generalities, like I said, big topics. There's never any solid proof, and very little of it comes in, obviously, by way of English. So, you know, the famous example is when the leader of Iran at the time, the spokesmouth in general, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, said...
Oh, yeah, about wiping
that,
off the map.
Yeah, and he, depending on who you ask about the translation, the mainstream ran with he wanted to kill everybody in Israel when he was talking about, you know, wiping Zionism off the map into the sea. Like trying to get rid of an ideology or a mindset. That was
right, kind of like, are you talking about we're at war with all of Islam?
Right.
Or are you just after terrorism?
Right.
It's
you know, more of the same. I wasn't shocked. And completely unverifiable to 98% of us anyway.
Right. And that's always the thing, is like, excuse me, who do you believe? I mean... I heard something the other day saying that there were reports that it was indeed rebels who had some weapons that were mishandled that went off.
Right, and so
that they got from Saudi Arabia, which is our ally, which is how you might do it,
right,
if you were gonna. I mean, because you go back to like in 1993, the World Trade Center bombing, those tapes of the guy saying, hey, why are we giving these guys, you know, the informant saying, hey, why are we giving these guys real bomb-making stuff? And the FBI agent saying, just chill out, we got
just
this.
Park it by that pillar and let's continue. Yeah, we do
have...
Hello?
Yep. Yeah, we'll get to you in just a second, caller. We got you. See, that's the thing, Jake. You got to, like, before you pull them up, be ready to go, because people, they stop hearing the ringing and they...
Right.
They
get confused. Well,
right.
As I figure this out, not I kind of listen for the dial tone to see if I actually even did it right.
First. Right. All right, are you there, caller?
Yes, sir. How are you doing today?
All right. What's your name?
This is Chuck. How you doing?
Hey, Chuck. What's happening, sir?
Not much. I think it was Obama drawing the line. You know, what I was reading is he drew the line. He said, well, if besides you come out and do chemical weapons, I'm going to, you know, we're going to retaliate against you. Now he's come out and done chemical weapons. It's taken up all this time, and all these Arab countries are looking at him like, you know, can we get away with more?
Yeah, except I don't think people are, maybe I'm wrong on that, but I don't think people are sitting back going like, can we get away with more? It's more like, what you going to do now? I mean, it's like, it's almost like, again, I look at it like back in school, you know, back in grade school, when the one guy said something, and he said, you better not say nothing about my mama. And then the guy said something about your mama, and then everybody's sitting around going, ooh, you going to let him get away with that? You going to let him get away with that? And you're trying your best not to have a fight, but
everybody's
pushing
you. Yeah, because Obama has been, his whole campaign on his presidency has been to get out of this mess that we're in over in the Middle East.
Well,
and
yeah.
For him to be going, this is like a reverse step for him.
Right.
To go, okay, well, we're going to go into this and get into another war, which is kind of like what he's been trying to avoid his whole presidency.
Well, and it would be, I guess.
But then you got to look in also, you know, him and Putin don't really get along. And this whole Syrian thing really escalated because when Iran sent over the Hezbollah, was it Hezbollah? Fighting it's like the elite Iranian army. And they sent them over, and they're the ones that once they got there, all these mass killings started happening. And that's coming in from Putin because Putin, Obama came in his first two or three weeks of his presidency. He was telling Putin, well, you know, I'm not even going to mess with Iran. And then 2 weeks later, he's there. There he is trying to poke, you know, put all these sanctions against them. Remember, they had all the boycotts and stuff like that. And they were getting so bad they couldn't even, they were drawing the line. Obama put so many sanctions against them, that Iran, that they weren't even sending the medical supplies. And then that was becoming a ethical question, you know, hey, do we, you know, we got so much sanctions against Iran, you know, we can't even send them medical supplies that they actually need. So, yeah, I would say that Obama's got himself in a position, but.
Yeah, and but then, like you were saying, Jake, as far as the whole scripted hype thing.
Yeah, well, I mean.
It's so.
From the tidbits we get, video, audio, and reporting, you know, obviously something happened, but was it the rebels versus the pro-Assad? Was it Assad versus regular innocent civilians? Is it some kind of staged, you know, manufactured coup with, you know, interlopers or mercenaries of some kind? None of that.
Well, it's the guys from Iran.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. None of that's verifiable. We have no clue what actually happened. They give us a small buffet of choices to feed from, and then we all go to work arguing with each other about, you know, whether Assad's a war criminal or whether the rebels are heroes. And meanwhile, we don't even really know who was doing
who
what
did
and
what?
For what reason.
Yeah.
We have no way of verifying that.
Well, yeah, Well, there's a lot of history leading up to where we are today.
Right, and who does anything for one cause? What's the last thing you did specifically for your religion? I mean, what's the last thing you did specifically for your race? Well, I mean, what's the last? I make decisions based on like hunger and sex and temperature and, you know, there's.
Right.
So how do we know? You know, in situations like these. Was it because of a jihad? Is that why? Are they mad about, you know, drinking age, right to vote,
taxes,
local corruption? Who knows why these people are throwing fits?
Well, I think it's personally, I think it's a thing between Putin and Obama.
But that's what I'm saying. Putin and Obama haven't done anything. They sit, you know.
No, it's all about them.
No,
these guys are just little puppets. for the super guys.
That's what I'm saying, and these super guys don't do anything. So what actually transpires on the ground is 33 steps removed from these two people. Putin didn't do anything. Obama didn't do anything. And they're, you know, intermediaries for other forces, not constituents anymore. So that's the whole blurry point of all of this. Speaking of Robin Thicke and blurred lines.
Yeah. All right, guys. I got to go.
All right. You have a good one, sir.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
All right. So, yeah. Yeah, that's all mixed up over there, man. And the thing that I'm, like, and I know there's, like you said about being steps and steps and steps away, and this is not as critical, but or as imminent, but you know, I've got a war-aged son now.
Yeah.
You know, and me and my wife were talking. I'm sure all over America, people are talking about this stuff. Going like, man, look, I'm not in any way, shape, or form prepared to send my child into that stuff. You know, I was talking with somebody And you can help me out on these dates, Doug, but didn't we have a revolution from 76 to 83?
That's approximate.
That is 7 years. That's how long it takes to get a boot off your neck.
Right.
If these people want that dude gone, they got to do it. We can't go over there and do it. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's like, again.
But that's if you want freedom. Or whatever we got.
Some
but we don't want them. I mean, because
yeah.
The thing of it is, if we had had the you know, Declaration of Independence, and then 6 months later, France came and started fighting for us. I mean, I think it took a little bit longer, right? But if immediately they came and started doing things for us, then it would have been not for our independence, but for us becoming a colony for them instead of those.
Exactly. Or a
you got to take your stuff if you want it. I mean, you have to stand up and say, "This is my. Give us free."
Right, and that's the tricky part, because a lot of these cultures, you know, have different ideas of what freedom means. If religiously,
right.
You know, they don't want women in the workplace, for example.
Then you got to let them work through that stuff.
Right. So, you know.
Hell, we had 150 years, and we still ain't 200 years, and we still didn't get it done.
Yeah, if it was that easy, they should just, you know, photocopy the Declaration of Independence.
Right. Well, know, when they try that, we
Google
end up working it. Against them, right? Because then that would.
Right. So it's always difficult when you bring somebody freedom, you know, via the barrel of a gun. Because whose freedom are you bringing them?
Right.
You know, essentially it's about, you know, control over the lending and the building and the energy.
It's strictly import. It's not an export item.
Right.
Freedom.
Yeah.
You cannot. I mean, you just can't. I mean, you know, again, you. I don't know, man. I go back to, like, the situations I've been in my life. Like, I still remember going, walking down the street, right down 39th Street here, down by Gillum, by the park. And I was walking home in the middle of the night, and there was a guy down there having it out with his girl. And he went to smack her, and I called myself intervening, me and my buddy. And we walk up to the guy, and we're like, "Hey, man, back up off that girl, man. You can't be doing that." And she started scratching and screaming at us.
Right.
Like, you know, hey, this is my thing,
yeah.
And you gotta let that work itself out. It's not you can create resource for those folks. I mean, you know, I don't know. You show up on the border if you got all these allies, but see, that would require us to have a different stance diplomatically, I think. Like, if we were able to, this is one of those best of all possible worlds, according to Michael T. Justice things, right? Where we could show up on the border of Syria and say, "All right, here is a zone. You come into this zone, you are free. They will not attack you."
Right, or show up with laptops and water filters and,
right,
you know, little permaculture hydroponic gardening,
right,
implements.
But you know, we show up with guns and, well, a few tanks.
Right. Mostly death from above. They,
right,
love the
yeah,
fire.
We don't even deal with that anymore. And that's the other thing, see, is that it becomes so offset for us that we don't even know or care. Because, like I said, I'm worried about my son, but in reality, it's not really an issue for me, because even if my son was, like, drawn up into it, he'd be, what, in Warrensburg pushing a button to fly a plane or a drone to go 1,000 miles and drop a bomb and come back, and he was never really in harm's way except his psyche, because like Ben was talking about with all the suicides and stuff, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I have this weird feeling that type of behavior in those circumstances, you'll never be able to be fully removed from it. You know, somebody's
right.
There'll be a twinge of consciousness and conscience, you know, whether you're push go on the robot that kills people, or you're actually flying the robot yourself, or, you know, shooting the missile or shooting the bullet.
Yeah, at some point your brain will put it together what you're doing and will,
right,
say that ain't right.
You know, a lot of people contend that the warrior left, you know, when the gun was invented, when you're not able to look a man in the eyes, you know, before you defend your life,
right,
liberty, and pursuit of happiness, that even, you know, a gun itself is less than noble, because it puts enough distance between you and who you're shooting that the it's just too easy to go to if you don't have to,
right,
look a man in the face.
Right. It's very rare that you do the old don't shoot till you see the whites of their eyes thing.
Mano y mano is no longer.
But, I should not read and try and talk, because I'm just not very capable in that respect. But, what were we just talking about? I'm sorry, my mind went someplace completely. This is why you should not text and drive.
Right. You can barely do it sitting still.
Right.
Let alone operating a hunk of metal at multiple miles per hour.
Right.
No, just the assuredness of being righteous in bringing people freedom through the lens of a computer in a high-powered optics sensing,
right,
system on a robotic death machine.
Right, and it's unless you're already down with that, I mean, you know, that gets into some craziness of, like, population reduction on a,
right,
global scale. And it's like, if you're, like, fully okay with that, because now we don't need 7 billion people. We can do without 6 or 6.5 billion of them. That's a slow kill. I don't know about that.
Right. Well, all things tend to balance out. You know, as much atrocity as we're facing in staged wars that there are breakthroughs in kindness and connectivity and energy and, you know, people who get it. I think the last quasi-serious poll I saw put it, you know, American support thus far in the propaganda hype machine, somewhere around 9%, you know, for attacking Syria, which is good news for 91% of the people and, I guess, a head-scratching 9%. But, you know, so at the same time, their outlandish reasons for going to war are being met with, you know, very low approval ratings. So I don't see, you know, doom and gloom in all of it, though it is disheartening and utterly disgusting and, you know, will lead you to kill yourself if you partake in it, apparently. But simultaneous, you know, just as much good is happening and can happen.
But because of that very thing, what you're talking about is like the reason for that suicide rate and that kind of stuff is because you can't push that out, because at a subconscious, at a heart level, you have to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
It seems, and this is kind of jumping afar, because I talked to you off air last week about that movie I Am. I don't know if you got a chance to check that out, but they went through a whole bunch of examples in nature where
and I've heard this before and kind of poo-pooed it, but looking at it, the way it was laid out, it kind of gave me some more pause to think, but this notion that in nature, there's all these examples of where, you know, when in a herd or whatever, the different types of species in their groups, that when they reach a tipping point, like they all fall they all fall into line, you know, like
the 100th monkey thing.
Yeah, like they were doing this thing about like these deer that were out in this deal, and they were monitoring them, and there was like, they noticed that one would look towards a watering hole, and then another one would look towards a watering hole over there, and as each deer kind of voted, once they hit the point that